I hope that you enjoyed the coronation yesterday and appreciated particularly the Book of Common Prayer communion service that it contained. I'd like to start this morning with a preliminary prayer drawn on the ones that were heard yesterday and wish you a very good Sunday. Dearly beloved, we're gathered to offer worship and praise to Almighty God, to celebrate the life of our nations, to pray for Charles, our King, to recognise and to give thanks for his life of service to this nation, to the realms and to the Commonwealth, and to witness with joy his crowning and anointing as he is set apart and consecrated for the service of his people. Let us dedicate ourselves alike, in body, mind and spirit, to a renewed faith, a joyful hope, and a commitment to serve one another in love. Amen. Good morning. My name is John Waits, and I'm the Honorary Curate here at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. This is the Book of Common Prayer Holy Communion service for the Sundays after Easter up until Pentecost. We start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Prayer of Preparation. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy strength, and all thy mind. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. The Collect for the Sovereign. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Charles, our King and Governor, that he, knowing whose minister he is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all his subjects, duly considering whose authority he hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey him in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Now we have the collect. The Lord be with you, and thy spirit. Let us pray. The Collect for the fifth Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, have overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that as by your grace going before us, you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help, we may bring them to good effect. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
Hello, I'm Sue, and I'm going to share with you some thoughts on today's readings. Our first reading is from the Book of Acts of the Apostles. It's about what happened when a man called Stephen stood up for what he believed in, even when he knew it wasn't going to be easy. So Stephen was a Christian man from Jerusalem who loved God and Jesus very much. He was on all sorts of rotas at the synagogue. He was praying, he was preaching, and he was pastoral. He meant he looked after people, made sure they had enough to eat. And he knew the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he wanted to teach people about what Jesus had done. So one day Stephen was teaching in the synagogue about Jesus. And some of the worshippers were the same people who'd been there when they got Jesus arrested and crucified. And so when Stephen started sharing the same messages as Jesus, they got really angry. Now, while I would probably have shied away from the confrontation, young Stephen didn't change his message. He told the crowd that they had rejected Jesus, the one God wanted them to follow as their king. And of course, they didn't like it one bit when Stephen told them that killing Jesus was wrong. So they rejected Stephen too. Lucy is going to read what happened next.
The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 7, verses 55 to 60. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
The account of Stephen's stoning is horrific to our 21st century ears. But in Israel 2000 years ago, the justice system was very different. I guess they didn't have the resources to imprison and rehabilitate. They judged quickly, they punished quickly. Now, I'm clearly not destined for sainthood, as in every aspect of this story, I would have acted very differently to Stephen. What does Stephen do, faced with an angry crowd and impending death? He prays. He knew that God was listening in, as well as the angry crowd. And Stephen knew that God loved him very much, and God loved him so much that he enabled Stephen to see right through into heaven. And so Stephen asked God to forgive the crowd, just like Jesus did when Jesus was dying. Stephen lived and died serving God and Jesus, his master and ruler, his Lord. In this story, we can see how stones were used in a bad way to hurt others. But in our next reading, which is part of a letter from Jesus's friend and disciple, Peter, we'll hear about a different kind of stone.
The reading is taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 2 to 10. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Did you hear it? What did you hear? A living stone? A cornerstone? A stone that makes you stumble and trip? The last stone, the one that makes you trip up and fall, is like the truth about Jesus that Stephen's crowd had rejected. They'd ignored Jesus's offer of a new life, and they were deeply unhappy. But in this letter, Peter calls Jesus the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. The stone is solid, reliable, trustworthy, and alive, responsive to our needs. And as we put our trust in Jesus, the living stone, we become more like him. And we too become living stones, and we're being used to build a spiritual house, a temple where God's Spirit dwells. I want to step aside into Ephesians chapter 2, where we hear that we are fellow citizens with God's people, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we too are becoming this building, a dwelling for God. These words were written by Paul, but they're remarkably similar to Peter's letter. And so there's that cornerstone again. Jesus is the cornerstone. What is a cornerstone? If we were in the church, I'd be pointing them out. But simply put, the cornerstone is the stone that is set into place by the builder, and all the other stones in the structure are laid according to or depending on that cornerstone. So Jesus is identified as the stone on which everything else is built, the stone that kind of holds everything together. He is the foundation for any life that is built upon him. We too may face rejection that may shake us, but if we keep building on Jesus, we can stand up for what is right with him as our foundation, even if we're not as saintly as Stephen. And I find it interesting to remember that Jesus called our letter writer Peter the rock. The name actually means rock in Greek, Petra. And in French, he'd be called Pierre. And if you know French, you know Pierre is stone. Jesus called Peter the rock on which he would build his church. So maybe we should listen to him. So how does all this link to the coronation of King Charles, I hear you say? Well, there's another stone that helps do that. It's kind of important. This is the coronation chair. Kings and queens of England have been crowned upon it for 900 years. It looks like an old wooden chair, but once upon a time it was painted with pictures covered in gold and jewels. And it's probably the oldest bit of furniture still in use in England. Underneath the chair is a platform, and on the platform is a stone called the Stone of Scone. Oh, no, not that kind of scone, sorry. This one. Now, there's a legend linking the Stone of Scone to the stone in the Old Testament, which Jacob used as a pillow the night he dreamed of a ladder reaching up to heaven. Ask me later. So this stone has been part of the coronation service for hundreds of years, and I like to think that it represents that Jesus is the foundation on which the king has made his promises. What sort of promises would you want a king to make? What sort of qualities would you want in a king? I used to teach Bible stories to primary school children, and this was the bit where they always said, oh, he's got to be big, he's got to be brave, he's got to be strong, he's got to be handsome, he's got to be rich. He's got to be able to win at battles. Now, kings in the past kings in the Bible and kings in history generally have been a bit of a mixed bag. If they've been good, they've been okay. If they've been bad, they've been very bad. But two mostly good kings come to mind. King David was chosen as a young boy. He was a shepherd and he scared away other animals using his sling and some stones. He knew it was important to use his power for the good of others rather than to boss people around. David's son, King Solomon, was invited to ask God for anything he wanted to help him be king. But instead of asking for health and wealth, he asked for wisdom, and in return, God gave him all three, and he was renowned as a good king. So when King Charles was crowned, several parts of the ceremony were to help him to remember to be a good leader, to be a good king. Firstly, he was anointed with oil, a practice that goes back to Old Testament times. Anointing someone or something with oil was a way of showing that they were set apart, especially to serve God. Now, the oil used in the coronation was made from olives, harvested from monasteries on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem and pressed near Bethlehem, perfumed and then blessed. Here we have it being blessed at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, which is where the crucifixion and Christ's tomb were thought to be. So I think you'll agree, it's rather special. Then he was given several things to help him remember his promises, including an orb. You can see the cross on it. Now the cross shows that Christians believe that the world is God's. And this reminds Charles to make a positive difference to creation. He was also given a scepter. The scepter reminds the king that it is his responsibility to rule fairly and mercifully. That reminds me of that bit in Micah about walking humbly, doing justly. And then, of course, the crown. The crown that was put upon his head. The arches form a cross above his head and remind Charles that Jesus, that God, is the ultimate king. And it's the one, he's the king that Charles serves. Some people are happy that Charles has been made king. Some people prefer another way of living, but here we are, and what we can do is to lean on our very own living cornerstone, Jesus, the King of Heaven, and ask him to help King Charles remember the promises he made. I'm encouraged that he will, because as King Charles entered Westminster Abbey for the ceremony, he was greeted by a young chorister. "Your Majesty, as children of the kingdom of God, we welcome you in the name of the King of Kings." King Charles' response was, "I come not to be served, but to serve." And that, my friends, is a very good motto for all of us. I come not to be served, but to serve. Let's remember that Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. We can rest on his foundation as we pray that we and the King will build our lives on kingdom values, that we will act justly, love faithfulness, and walk humbly with our God. Let's pray. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus Christ, for as you were sent by the Father, so you send us. Equip Charles, our King, and all your people with the gifts to fulfil our calling, that we may love as you loved, serve as you served, and willingly follow where you lead. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God for ever. Amen.
We say our creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. For our church notices, please have a look at the church website, but also, very, very important, make a note in your diary of May the 30th, when we have the institution of the Reverend Hannah Gordon as the Rector of Chipstead. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where the rust and moth doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Come to the intercessions. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church, militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee continually to inspire the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save and defend all Christian kings, princes, and governors, and especially thy servant Charles, our king, that under him we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto his whole council and to all that are put in authority under him that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we must humbly beseech of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. Let me just take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend today. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. And a prayer for our rector that we're going to be saying, I hope, through till May the 30th. We praise and thank you, loving God, for sending us Hannah to be our rector. May she pastor us, teach us, and lead us, that together we may be your people and this parish a sign of your kingdom. As she prepares for this new challenge, prepare us also to receive her, that together we may know your will for us in the parish of Chipstead, and by your grace respond with eager joy to the challenge of the future. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbours, and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make a humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us, the burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts, we lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do. It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord most high. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The prayer of humble access. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. And it institutes, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that was betrayed, took bread. When he gave them thanks, he broke it. And he gave this to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he gave them thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as often as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on him in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this remembrance that Christ died for thee, and be thankful.
Amen. The body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ given for you.
As our Lord, Saviour Christ, hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious death and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we must humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. We come to the Gloria. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty. O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love, be with you today, and remain with you always. Amen.